Welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money using real estate. Now your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon, everybody, and happy Wednesday. This is Trevor Davis, Wealth Coach at Total Wealth Academy, and I wanted to expand on what we discussed last week. If you tuned in last week, we were talking about nutrition information, obesity statistics in this country, and what it looks like when somebody is consuming an average fast food meal, and what somebody is consuming from an average coffee drink that they're typically getting sometimes on a daily basis. Now, I always start with the Einstein quote first and foremost, which is the measure of intelligence is the ability to change. What is something you could change today that's something you're not happy with that if you do it now, it will make your life better? We're looking at things, and the way I like to look at it, especially recently, is just look at what you did yesterday. Like, what were the things that I literally did yesterday? And what are the things I can say today that I'm proud of? What are some things that perhaps I'm not particularly proud of? And I don't have to keep doing the things that I'm not necessarily proud of. I don't have to keep doing these things if they're not making me happy. There's no rule that says you have to keep doing the same things over and over again. Even if you end up looking like a weirdo to some people, or a weirdo to your spouse, or a weirdo to your kids. You know, is it really that much of a fear for you to do something different just to get a questioning comment from your spouse that, oh, you're doing this differently now? It's like, well, that's part of being in a relationship. They're going to notice different things about you sometimes, and you still have to be willing to make that change. Maybe that's just a small example, but I feel like we get pressured by other people, and we want to have the certain image of ourselves and be consistent to other people, but we have to be honest with ourselves as well and figure out what it is that we want to change. Now, after talking about nutrition, I really wanted to break down what comes after nutrition. And I say after nutrition because really right around 80% of what we're looking at is going to be nutrition first and foremost, okay? I have a caller here, Nick from Northwest Houston. Can you hear me, Nick?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Awesome. I can hear you. How can I help?
Yeah, I'm just wondering. I'm fixing to purchase my first rental property.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. Yeah.
That's very exciting.
It is scary. It's kind of scary. It's a little bit scary. It's more complex than I thought because I know very little about construction. And here's my question.
Yes.
I did get three bids, and they varied quite a bit, so I'm taking the lowest bid. And my question is, on the deposit, before they even put a nail, before they even pick up a hammer, they want a certain percentage as a deposit?
Yes.
In the industry, what is for a moderate, it's not going to be major work, it's just going to be, you know, floors and you know, bathtub and demolition, put the bathtub in, things like that, maybe. You know, within the $20,000 range, what would be the a reasonable deposit to give a contractor to do work before they even start?
Yeah, so the normal deposit we're looking at is going to be somewhere around 20% to 30% for most of the people that we work with on our vendor list. So, you know, cut that in the middle and say 25%. So if it's a $20,000 project, that's going to be a $5,000 deposit at 25% for them to start doing the work as the show of faith for you. And make sure that you're going to sign a contract that stipulates, you know, what's going to be done, exactly how it's going to be done, and what the time frame is for it. And above all, what the penalty is going to be if it's not completed on that agreed upon time, which can be something like $100 each day that it goes over, because you have to have something there that puts the fire under their butt and make sure that they're going to complete the project in a timely manner.
Okay. In your experience, how negotiable is it to amend the contract if you change the percentage and if you put clauses in there to protect you? Do they just say forget it, or you have to find somebody else? Or
I mean, that's just person-to-person negotiation at that point. That's good old-fashioned talking it out. It's still that expectation of around 25% deposit down. Let's say they say the project's going to take a total of 2 weeks. You agree on 2 weeks, and then after 2 weeks is gone, the project is still not done, but they just need one more day. You know, hold them to that. If you're feeling generous, maybe you don't hold them to that $100 for that day. But all that is up to negotiation. There's no hard and fast rule when it comes to that. But there is a best practice, which is what I'm encouraging you to pursue.
Okay, so if you're getting draws from hard money, and they're going to send their inspector and make sure that each project is like it's the way the contract is. They got like three different steps, or you know, you got your deposit, then you got upon completion of this, it's another 30%. Upon completion of this, it's another 30%. Finally, the last payment.
Yes.
So, how is that coordinated between what they want the 30% equals and what the amount of money that that the bank's going to give you, that the hard money bank's going to give you?
You know, it's not exact by any means. You're going to see sometimes most of them end up giving you more from the hard money loan than what's typically completely there. So they tend to be a little more generous in that regard. So it tends to err on the side of you getting more money rather than less. But the contractor you're working with has to understand that this is a pull from a hard money loan. The people on our vendor list, for example, they're all familiar with how hard money loans work. The fact that most of our members are leveraging their money with the hard money loans. So they know that to get that money, they have to do this work. And that's something that's coordinated with that schedule. So you know if you're working with a certain hard money lender that typically goes 30, 30, 40, then it's probably in your best interest to do something to that effect with your contractor themselves.
Yeah, because they won like 30 after the initial deposit, they want 30-30. So I was kind of wondering how that works if they want, you know, $6,000 and the hard money only gives you $4,000, $5,000, then if you have to come up with a difference, you know.
Yes. Yeah, in that case, then you would have to come up with the difference. And that's normal for hard money loan situations, especially in a market like the one we're in now, because the deals are more expensive. But that's something they analyze whenever you get pre-qualified. You know, they still want to see some cash reserves there so they know you can complete the deal in those little gray area middle grounds between getting the next part. But, yeah, you'll be covered, and then ultimately the math is going to end up being what you saw during your deal analysis phase.
So I'm going to, even if I'm giving some money out of my pocket, so to speak, that money's already accounted for, so the lender still... they still owe me for that money if they said they were going to include it, you know, that amount in the loan with the, you know, part of that 75% of the ARP.
Yes.
And that would should balance out, like you said, then. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're going to be lending you that 75%, so whatever that total is, that's what you're going to be getting total. And again, we'll know what your total out of pocket will really be. Once the math is all done, and let's say, hey, the total we looked at was going to be like $10,000 once everything was said and done. You know,
okay.
Match that up with what happens at the end, you know, make sure the deal went through correctly, maybe learn a couple things, but that's how we know what's going to happen whenever we get into these deals.
So, but you're saying also, you said something else, that the contract itself is kind of vague, as they don't really, you know, really tell me what kind of materials they're using, what kind of paint or that kind of thing. So do I need to amend that too and find out exactly what they're putting in there, or does it matter?
Well, send me an email and I can send you a contract that's been used before that's very strong. You're welcome to take notes from it. But that's one that's been recommended to me that's very, very thorough. So if you want to send me an email, I'll be happy to send you that connection for sure.
Okay. Let me what's your email?
It's Trevor@TotalWealthAcademy.com. So TREV as in Victor, OR, @TotalWealthAcademy.com.
Okay, Trevor. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem at all. Good luck on this project.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. All right, y'all. After the break, we will get back into the fitness information and the nutrition information I discussed. Thanks again for calling in, Nick.
Were you told that it's normal to lose money in a down market? That's just not true. Hi, I'm Steve Davis, CEO of Total Wealth Academy. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets while creating a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. If you have $100,000 or more to invest, you should consider this to protect and grow your money. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
Welcome back from the break, everybody. This is Trevor, Total Wealth Academy. We just had a nice conversation with Nick in Northwest Houston about the contract on his rental house. So congratulations again on that. And I was just about to get into what comes after nutrition. And my general approach, and I was just talking about this with my sister, that 80% of what our health comes from is the nutrition side and 20% is the fitness side. So from the foundation, we have to be looking at the nutrition and making sure that we're eating well and taking care of our body from the inside. So let's see and really remind people what they heard last week. But in this country, as of 2018, the most recent information that the CDC has gathered, 73.1% of Americans are overweight and obese. 73.1%. So that's right at 3 out of 4 people are overweight and obese. And from that, a total of 42.4% are obese. And that's having a body mass index of 30 plus. So only 26.9% of people are below overweight. So they're in the normal weight range, and this of course does include some people that are underweight, but we're only looking at about 1 in 4 people in this country that are in the normal weight range and the couple of people that are underweight. So shocking stuff. But there seems to be some good news when it comes to fitness. Now, when we're approaching fitness, we have to make sure that we're staying active on a weekly basis to take care of our body and making sure our muscles are staying strong, they're staying in shape. And of course, everybody's heard the phrase, if you don't use it, you lose it. And we know this is true with muscle because you see what happens when someone like Arnold Schwarzenegger decides to work out 4 or 5 hours a day whenever he was in his bodybuilding competition phase. His body was growing a lot and he was maintaining very, very large muscles from extreme levels of strength training for an extreme amount of time per week. So 4 or 5 hours a day, that's going to be good 30 to 35 hours a week. So over a whole day of just straight up weights working out. And that does require a lot of rest. That does require a lot of stretching. And that just requires a ton of work. You know, it cracks me up when people think that they're going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger from hitting the gym and lifting a couple dumbbells. It's like, if it were that easy, wouldn't everybody look like Arnold Schwarzenegger right now? Like, every man you know would look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and every woman you knew looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger for that matter, too. It's like, no, you have to be doing this for a very long period of time to get that level of musculature. Now, what federal guidelines recommend for people, there's really two important ones. The first one is that you get 150 minutes of moderate intensity aerobic physical activity each week. So 2.5 hours. So if you do 30 minutes 5 days a week, that's going to hit the requirement. Now, the definition of moderate means that it's going to be 50 to 70% of your max heart rate. So we'll hit it right in the middle at 60% and say that you want to be hitting right at 60% of your max heart rate to make sure that you're hitting the aerobic activity that your heart needs to pump the blood as exercise for your cardiovascular system and your muscles. Now, like last week, I'm going to use myself as a guinea pig here, and I'm going to identify what my max heart rate is. I'm 30 years old, and the formula right now is 206.9 minus 0.67 times your age. So I'm 30, so doing the math here, you got 0.67 times your age in parentheses, take that result, subtract it from 206.9, and I got a max heart rate of 186.8, so round up 187. Now, one thing recently is that they said that this formula tends to underestimate people's max heart rates, so they give it a plus or minus 11 just to make sure. So my max could be right up there at 198, and the lower range would be 176. But we're going to keep it here at 187. So if I'm going to hit moderate intensity aerobic exercise, that's going to be 60% of 187. So that's going to be right at 112 beats per minute of my heart. So I need to make sure that I'm getting my heart rate right at around 112 each week for 2.5 hours. The other option is to cut that time in half and do what's called vigorous intensity aerobic physical activity. So you only need to do 75 minutes of this per week, which is 1 hour and 15 minutes. This is going to be more intense because it requires that your heart rate is going to be between, 70% to 85%. And that's going to be the vigorous. So I cut that in the middle. I hit 77.5, and that gets me a heart rate of 145. So if I want to do an hour and 15 minutes of exercise, I have to be at 145 beats per minute. So the good news here that I have for you is that people seem to be working out more in recent history. The word has gotten back out. For whatever reason, it seemed like there was a significant drop in physical activity around the late 90s and early-ish 2000s. And then ever since the late 2000s now to the 2020s, there's been an increase in physical activity. Now, the data I found said that in 2006, 41.4% of people were getting their required physical activity per week. And now in 2018, which is here still the most recent data that's been fully collected, 53.3% of people are meeting their aerobic activity each week. So that's a 28.74% increase. So over a 25% increase over those 12 years. So that's good news. It seems to be holding strong up to 2022 on the information I could find. It seems to be going up a little bit each year as of now. So we're probably hovering right around 55% of people today that are making sure that they're meeting their physical activity each year, each week. So I wanted to see what was going on, because what's really going on behind the scenes, because during my research for last week's show, which focused on nutrition and focused on obesity, I saw something that really throws a wrench into this situation. You know, if nutrition is the foundation and exercise is something you still need to do, but it's more like the 20% of what you need to do, you know, whatever this ratio really means. But right now, 42.4% of people are obese. We know that. But back in 1999 and 2000, only 30.5% of people were obese. So over that past 18 years, from the beginning of the new millennium to 2018, And as trends go on, people are getting more obese, unfortunately, but we saw a 39% increase in obesity in the United States of America. So that's a little bit confusing because people are working out more, they're getting more exercise, but they're becoming more obese at the same time. So what in the world is going on here? Well, the first thing I found when I was looking at these statistics is that the activity portion was self-reported. And they had a very strong approach to it, and they have high confidence in the results. But this was ultimately self-reported data from the households that got part of this study. So we're going to keep diving into this and figure out what's going on when we get back. Investigate more on why you have to stay fit and stay active every single week. Stay tuned.
If you have a financial planner, ask them these two questions. One, will I lose money in a down market? Two, do I still pay you if I lose money? If the answer to either question is yes, fire them and come see us. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets and create a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com. Thank you.
All right, everybody, welcome back. We were just getting into the nitty-gritty here about the statistics that we're seeing lately when it comes to fitness. Now, I was just getting into the fact that from 1999 to 2000, we had a 30.5% obesity rate, and then in 2018, we've arrived at a 42.4% obesity rate, a 39% increase, despite the fact that from 2006 to 2018, we had a 28.74% increase in the amount of people meeting their physical activity needs. So when I was looking at this information, I found that it was self-reported, which means that people are probably not reporting this information most accurately. That's going to be my assumption because we're human beings. We're going to want to make ourselves look as good as possible, make ourselves feel as good as possible, and sometimes be in denial about things that are very, very bad for us. And if you're maybe not getting enough fitness or not getting enough cardio, not getting enough strength training, you're probably going to bend that report a little bit or maybe a lot to make it look like you're getting more. But we just know for sure that the obesity rate is going up, so there's something going on here that's being missed to get people to be more unhealthy objectively. And this is not subjective. This is a measurement from the BMI based on someone's height and weight and fat content that's showing that people, despite this increase in physical activity, according to those self-reports, people are getting more unhealthy as time has gone on. And that is not good whatsoever. When obesity costs, according to the CDC, $143 billion every year, and the annual health care costs of someone with obesity will average over $1,400 more than someone in a healthy weight range. So there's a significant cost to this that's not just on the body itself, it's in the medical results. It's in the increased rates of diabetes and cancer and Alzheimer's and low energy levels and poor mental health that comes from this. So we have to be very cautious with how we're approaching our own health, because ultimately nobody else is going to force us to eat healthy food. No one else is going to force us to go to the gym. You know, we're the only person in our own body. So if we're not taking care of it, no one else will, and no one else can. We're not going to be in another body. That's not how this is going to work. And we can talk science fiction all you want, but chances are we're not going to be at that stage at this point. And even at that point, it's like, why would somebody abuse the body that they have just because they know they're going to get a new one. I mean, the funny thing that I saw in a quote, and it's basically to this effect. Some people, and really a lot of people, will take better care of their vehicle than they will their own body. Like something that's literally an object and entirely replaceable and is insured, I hope. Like people are taking better care of their motorcycle, their truck, their car, whatever, than they are their own body. You know, they're taking the car to get oil changed. They're taking their car to get gas on a consistent basis. And obviously you have to get gas at least and maintain it or else it wouldn't run. They're getting the tires changed. They're doing the stuff that needs to be done to keep it running well. You want your car to run well. You want it to be operating and be fuel efficient, right? So take that same approach to your own human body and just think about it as a machine. And it's a machine that wants certain things and it wants a certain treatment to operate to the best of its ability. And not exercising, eating bad food, and causing your body to pack on tons of subcutaneous fat causes your body to have to work harder to do the same things, that stresses the cardiovascular system out, that stresses the respiratory system out, that causes your immune system to get weaker, that reduces your mental clarity, that doesn't make you feel good about yourself. It's not something that gets good results. So I think a lot of people, you know, have a bit of a reaction when we see a magazine that shows somebody that is completely out of shape and completely obese, and the magazine says, "This is healthy," on the front. You know, that's awful, in my opinion. That's lying to people. Because the medical community that knows what obesity is and knows the health risks and knows what this disease does to people know that it's not healthy. And saying it's healthy doesn't make it healthy. That's not how this works. You know, if somebody's house is on fire, you call the fire department to put out the fire. You don't just say, "Oh, it's not on fire, and then the fire goes away. That's not what happens. But people are basically doing the same things with their bodies. They've become delusional to a point to where they're accepting this idea that obesity is healthy, and it's not healthy. Having a disease is not something you want. You don't want to be in that position. Please do not believe that information because it's not confirmed or verified by the medical community. If we saw that obesity brought good results, that somehow having a lot of fat on your body was better for you, we'd be able to prove that. We'd be able to show that it's better for you to be this way. But it's better for you to be in a position where you have less fat and more muscle and have a low heart rate rather than an accelerated heart rate and somebody who has difficulty just walking around. That's not what the human body was made for. So please do not believe that information that is misleading people, that is causing people to validate their poor decisions when it comes to their health and nutrition, because all of that is just a mess. It's not true. So we know people are getting more obese. We know that people are ostensibly getting more activity. So it's very, very strange. What we have to do is first and foremost, make sure our nutrition is correct. Okay, so let's assume your nutrition is correct. You've got the calories you need each day. You've got the vitamins and minerals you need. You've got a good balance of carbohydrates, proteins, and fats, because you do need all three. People that said that fat was bad, I never understood that because that's just not how it works. You don't just ingest fat and then it turns into fat. You know, it gets burned, converted into nutrients that you need exactly for your body. And if you have a surplus, then it gets turned into fat. And that could come from carbohydrates and proteins and ingestible fats. So that ends up being a combination, just basically surplus of calories. Then your body converts it into subcutaneous fat. Now, if you have your goal set for activity, you need to be making that 150 minutes each week of moderate intensity aerobic physical activity. or 75 minutes of vigorous activity. So your moderate activity, this is what's best for most people, according to these guidelines. You don't have to be going to the gym and working out like Arnold Schwarzenegger at all. What you can be doing for 2.5 hours each week is doing a couple different things. Brisk walking is something you can do. And it was actually pretty funny this morning because I see people walking in my neighborhood every morning, which is really, really nice. And they're all different age groups. So it's very, very encouraging, and it's nice to be around that influence. And as a human being, I am influenced by other human beings. And being conscious of that, it's good to surround yourself with people that push you towards a positive direction. So that's a plus in my neighborhood, and I like that. But literally this morning, I saw more people walking than I've ever seen before. I mean, every street I drove down, there were people walking, and it was very, very impressive. I was very happy to see that. And they were brisk walking. So that's going to be an accelerated pace, not slouching, not just putting one foot slowly in front of the other. It's a brisk pace that's deliberate, and that's going to get you a heart rate of 50 to 70% of your max. So for me, that'd be 112 beats per minute. So 112 beats per minute is roughly a little less than 2 per second. So I could just basically put my hand up to my neck, reach for my artery, and just say 1, 2, 3, 4. Count it for 10 seconds and see what it is. And then if I'm at that range, then I know that the activity I'm doing is hitting what my heart wants to get this exercise. Swimming is an option. Regular swimming is good. Jogging is considered moderate exercise. And jogging can end up being vigorous exercise, especially for how hard you're hitting it. You know, if you're going close to the running speed, you could be hitting that vigorous exercise level that's hitting that 80%-ish of your max heart rate. So that's a great option as well. And another one, my favorite, is strength training. Moderate intensity strength training, focusing on the full body, making sure you're hitting every muscle group, and making sure during that process that you are hitting that aerobic goal. It is possible for you to lift weights and not hit that aerobic goal, but it's a little hard to do if you're doing it correctly. It's hard to miss that if you're doing it correctly. You know, if once your muscle starts getting tired, your body has to start working harder. You're going to feel it no matter what muscle group you're using. You're going to start feeling that burn. Your body's going to start needing to get more oxygen to that muscle area. So your heart's going to start pumping faster. You're going to start feeling that aerobic activity. One caveat I do want to throw in here is that you have to make sure that you're getting a combination of both the traditional cardio and the strength training. Your heart loves the cardio. The rest of your body loves the muscles. So make sure you're doing both and combining them throughout the week. So stay tuned. We'll get into the final details of this during the last segment.
Hi, this is Steve Davis of the Total Wealth Academy radio show. Most people think they need hundreds of thousands of dollars to successfully invest in real estate. That's simply not true. If you have $100,000 or more, you can begin passive investing today. No worrying with contractors or tenants, and you get all the benefits of real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
I love my call-ins. We helped Nick at the beginning of the show, so if you have something you want to talk about regarding what I'm discussing or something else real estate related, feel free to give us a call at 281-558-5738. And if you want to send me an email, I gave that out earlier. That's trevor@totalwealthacademy.com. If you want a free copy of The Richest Man in Babylon in PDF format, send me an email, trevor@totalwealthacademy.com, and I will send you that PDF. One other thing I want to plug is that we are going to be out at the 13th annual Wild Game Cook-Off to support the Texas Association of First Responders. That's going to be, it's Friday and Saturday. We will be there Saturday from right at 12 to around 6 o'clock, and that is going to be in Hockley at 22731 FM2920, Hockley, Texas, 77447. This is to support law enforcement, firefighters, and emergency medical personnel. We are going to be out there during that time. This is open to everybody, and they are going to be cooking a lot of good stuff. They have six competition categories for their cook-off: wild game, brisket, pork, pork ribs, chicken, and seafood. So if you are ready to munch, it says adults tickets are just $10, and that means kids under 12 are free. So we will hope to see y'all out there this Saturday, the 23rd, at the cookout, 13th Annual Wild Game Cookoff, to support first responders. So to end the show, I want to get into what constitutes this exercise. We talked about the moderate, so let's look at vigorous. You need half the amount of time, 75 minutes a week, of vigorous exercises. You know, it's one or the other, or it can be a combination of both. You know, see what fits your fitness goals. If you want to do more intense and less time, or if you want to do less intense with more time, that's at your discretion. But make sure that you're getting the result proven by the BMI that you're looking at, and the resting heart rate you're looking at, and the blood pressure. Those are three of the biggest things for sure. So vigorous exercise at that 70 to 85% of what you're looking at for your max heart rate is going to include things like running, straight up running, you know, knees high running, cycling at 10 miles an hour plus. Cycling is really, really effective at building cardio. I love cycling. I think it's super fun. It's fun to go fast. That's super good at building your leg strength and your cardio in general. Lap swimming is thrown in here. That's going to be, you know, face side to side, high impact intensity swimming where your arms are moving very, very far forward and back with high strength, and then vigorous strength training. So that's really included in both categories, because the strength training can be as intense or low impact as you want. If you want to build general muscle strength, go for lower weights. There's nothing wrong with doing that. If you're literally looking to target a muscle group and build that muscle group, you're going to want to lift heavier weights. But again, you're not going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger just because you decided to pick up 50-pound dumbbells one day and did a couple curls with that, or whatever is your max that you're comfortable with. It is going to definitely help you build tone and some good muscle appearance, which is great for everybody. But again, too, the part that really gets me about that, people saying they're going to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, is that, do you think he looked like that overnight at the same time? Like, he was just working out, skinny, 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 and then just overnight he woke up and he was just the complete Hulk. It's like, no, you're going to see the results as time goes on. And if you get to a point where you're feeling too muscular, then you can slow down your workout, you know, or you can stop targeting that group for a little while or something and make an adjustment. But I still think that that's a pretty great problem to have, that you've gotten a little too muscular and now you need to work out a little less. Like, I think there are worse problems in that situation for sure. So the final thing is extreme, the maximum, and that's when you're hitting 85 to 100% of your max BPM. That's going to be the extreme weightlifting, where people are going for max one or two reps, super power lifting, and sprinting. You know, full-on max speed running where your legs are flying as high as they can go. Your legs are exerting themselves to the fullest. That's the easiest and quickest way for your heart to get to its maximum beats per minute for sure. If you've ever had to run away from a situation, you've probably experienced this. And you probably didn't feel too much of your heart itself, maybe during the activity, because the adrenaline was blocking everything out and just saying run, run, run. But once you're in the safety of being far away, you probably start feeling it and your heart is going nuts. You know, that's going to be the max heart rate, and that's an extreme activity, and that's not something you want to sustain, because that when your heart is at that max, You know, it's extremely stressed. It's working out extremely hard. You don't want to do that for too long because that's just too much. Going back to the car example again, but if you're going to keep your car in the red zone in RPMs, you know, it's going to wear out your engine super fast, not unlike your heart. So make sure that you're hitting that moderate level, that vigorous level. Find something that works for you. Find something fun. For me, the fun in working out came when I was in the right environment. So if I have a recommendation for people to improve their exercise routine in a week, it's to find an environment that makes you feel like working out. It doesn't mean that you're going to necessarily still like going to want to go, because that's still like, I still don't want to go to the gym most of the times. And I still try to psych myself out. And I mentioned this on the show last week where I try to psych myself out on just a regular workout. And it's like, I can tell you right now, today is leg day. And I love leg days now, but going to the gym, I'm still thinking about it. And there's just that part of me that's still trying to find an excuse not to go. I'm going to go to the gym today. I am going to get my workout in. I'll tell you about it next week if you want to follow up with me on it. But find an environment that makes you feel confident in working out. The place I go is a place that is filled with people that are bigger than me, that are more muscular than me. And there are some true bodybuilders working out at this place. It's an open-air, non-AC gym that's designed for people to build muscle, designed for serious strength training. And when I first joined, I was scared out of my mind. This was a place that intimidated me from the top to bottom, but I knew that I had to work out here because the other places I worked out were not making me feel like working out. And that's ultimately on me. You know, they ultimately have the same types of machines, but just at the regular, more common gyms, I wasn't feeling like working out. I wasn't feeling like going. I didn't feel pumped when I left. And I wasn't surrounded by people who were pumping themselves up like crazy. Like, that's what I wanted, and that's my goal during these workouts, is to hit that vigorous level of heart rate and know that I'm exerting my muscles to a high vigorous degree to allow me to build muscle and become more muscular. So that worked for me. You don't have to go to a gym like that. It's probably not for everybody. I don't think it is. But a good gym, a good facility that has all of the machines that you could want, that has a nice dumbbell rack to where you can do free weights, that's got some good cardio machines, you know, that's what you need. Another thing I talked about when it came to the environment is that I figured out that I don't like working out at home. I can't stand working out at home because I think home is for relaxing, having fun, and doing the leisure activities I elect to do. Making my bombs, playing electric guitar, playing metal guitar, that's what I really love to play, and playing video games, and playing and reading. I don't want to be working out in that environment. I just want it to be separate to where I sweat it out at the gym, I do the activities that I need to do, and then I'm good. Like, that's literally been compartmentalized into one environment, and then I come home and I do the cooking that I want to do and all the other fun stuff that I like to do, and make beer, of course. Sure, if you're listening to this and you know me, you know I make beer, you know my goal is to open a brewery. If you don't know, well, come out and try the beer whenever you get a chance, and I'll be happy to give you some. We have our monthly spotlight events once every month. This next one is going to be, let me see here, May 12th. Yes, Thursday, May 12th at 6:30 p.m. If you are a guest and you haven't visited us before, please come out and you can try some new beers from me. I love making beer, and that's another fun thing I like to do. But to wrap this all up, fitness is part of health. Tony Robbins says this during the intro to our free sample class, where you cannot be the richest person in the graveyard. In other words, if your body's not taken care of, it doesn't matter how much money you have. You have to take care of your body. So eat well, avoid the fast foods, get your 2.5 hours of exercise every week, and start enjoying the benefits of a healthy, very, very lovely, healthy body. So enjoy that. Thank you all so much for tuning in today.
You've been listening to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decisions. To find out more about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.